When we were living in South Africa, there was a dog next door to us. It was a bull terrier. Do you know what a bull terrier is? Not very big dog, but very strong. Very strong. No fat on this dog. This dog's just strong. Well, the owners used to give him a car tire to play with. Not a tennis ball. Get the ball. Not fetch, doggy fetch the tennis ball. A car tire. So they would roll the tire and he would run and grab the tire in his mouth like that and pick it up and bring it back to his owners. You get the idea when I'm talking about strength? He bit the fence. He bit a hole in the fence trying to get to our dogs. Now, our children had these Maltese poodles. They're just this little white ball of fluff. One was called CJ, and the other one was called Snow White. Well, one day, this guy got Bruno, what a name, got over this fence or through it and got a hold of little fluffy Snow White, like that. There was no way this dog was going to get, this dog was going to die. You understand? Bruno had waited long enough and couldn't take it anymore, and eventually got through and got hold of Snow White. Well, Hain was about 10 years old, and he jumped in and wrestled Snow White out of Bruno's mouth. Now, you know how many kids get killed with dogs tearing them apart, and how many thousand stitches they end up in, operations they have to have. Hain became Snow White's only hope. She would have died had Hain not risked all, not thinking about himself, but just thinking about the pain that little dog was in, and not willing that this dog would suffer anything further than what it had already done. He dived in there and pried this dog's mouth open and got his sister's dog out. It wasn't even his own dog. Hain was Snow White's hope. Say this, I am the hope of the world. The 5th of August, 2010, the main ramp at the San Jose mine in Atacama in northern Chile collapsed, trapping 33 miners 2,300 foot down. It took 17 days before they were able to drill a tiny little hole to reach them. And they passed a little pipe down in which they could get air and pass light through and get some water down to them. That only happened the next day, 18 days. Well, 24 days later, since the collapse, the miners were eventually allowed the opportunity of speaking to their loved ones, 2,300 feet up, and they were given 20 seconds each to say goodbye because they were expected to die. It took, I believe it was around the 39th day, and they had drilled a few more holes down and were passing food through when the wife of one of the trapped miners, I'm trying to think what her name was. What was her name? I believe it was Elizabeth. She gave birth to a little baby girl. And they called the little girl Esperanza. Anybody speak Spanish? Esperanza means hope. The mother named her baby Hope because they knew all hope was gone, but they were still hoping that these people would get out. 68 days went by. It was finally October the 13th when the last trapped miner was brought out through the rescue capsule, 2,300 foot up, in a hole that was 26 inches, 28 inches wide. 68 days. The color of that capsule was red, white, and blue. They painted it red, white, and blue. I know that's our colors, but it's the colors of the Spanish flag. Those miners had no hope of recovery. The only hope they had was from above. Say this, the only hope I have is from above. Say, our hope is Jesus. Say, my hope is in Jesus. That's what 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Christ Jesus, our hope. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, but in your heart set aside Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Give an answer, give a reason why you have this hope in you. See, Christians are supposed to have hope. Hope of salvation, hope of heaven. We should be a happy bunch. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Above all, we should have hope. And we have put our hope in the living God. His name is Jesus. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Have you put your hope in Him? Amen. Amen. We have no hope outside of Him. He is the one that we go to in all situations, and we are encouraged that He hears us, He knows what we're going through, and we can put our hope and our trust in Him to get us through. In this hope, we are saved, according to Romans 8 and 23. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. See, we're actually saved by hope. A lot of people don't realize that. People think that we're only saved by faith through grace, and that's all there is to it. But we're saved in this hope. Our hope is in Jesus, and that is where our salvation comes from. You see, hope that is already seen with the eyes already has physically is not hope at all. Because why would you hope for something that you already have? You don't hope for what you already have. You always hope for something that is in the future. And if we hope for it, then we patiently wait for it. Say this with me. Hope is a good waiter. Hope is a good waiter. It's still too cold in here. Would you tell when she comes out? Thank you so much. Okay, it's a little too cold. All right. So, hope has to be seen, but it has to be in the future. Now, if we're dealing with something from our senses, this is usually in the head realm. And believe it or not, your head actually plays a role in your salvation. You know that you can't get saved until you decide to. You actually have to decide. God doesn't decide for you and force salvation upon you. You have to choose Jesus. You have to choose salvation. You have to decide for God. And that is what Christianity is about. Throughout all of your Christian experience, you will be making decisions for God or not for God. For God or not for God. When you come to praise and worship like we did this morning, you choose, do I want to enter in or do I want to stand on the side? Do I want to watch or do I want to partake? It's your choice. Now, the interesting thing is that the Bible refers to hope as a salvation helmet. It goes on your head. Look at the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Talking about military hardware, weapons, armor that we put on. But it says here that we have to put the hope on our head, which is where we think. It's in the logic realm. It's in the reason realm. We have to begin to think hopefully. Until you think hopefully, you will not desire anything. You know what I'm saying? Until you begin to think hopefully about it, there is no desire. And here's the point. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. No hope, faith can't work. You have to have hope, desire, and then faith has something to work with. So if there's no desire, there's no hope. Usually the reason there's no desire is because there's no hope. I don't think I can get it. I'm going to give up on it. So therefore, I have no desire for it. And since I have no hope or no desire, my faith can't go to work to bring it to pass. Listen, I know I'm jumping the gun. I'm getting ahead of myself next week already. But your spirit man brings to pass your heart's desires. So if your heart has no desires, it has nothing to bring to pass. It stands idle. Can't do it. It cannot work against your desires. It works in line with your desires. You got it? All right. Now, the scripture encourages us. We draw our faith and our hope and encouragement from the scriptures. Literally, we live off our hope. The scripture says the just shall live by faith. Now listen carefully to me. You will live a shorter time without hope. Cut your hope, you cut your life. You can drink water and eat food, but if you have no hope in you, you're the living dead. You're just existing. You're numb. You're numb to the world. That's why the young people cut themselves. It's one of the reasons they cut themselves. They cut themselves to feel if they're alive. They cut themselves to feel if I can feel pain still. The reason is they're hurting so much inside and they think nobody cares about their situation, where they're in, and they've lost hope for a good future. They've lost hope of getting out where they are. They've lost hope. And that hope turns to deadness. It turns to an inside pain that overwhelms them. And in order to try and bring them to reality, they will cut themselves to see if I can feel pain. I don't know. I've never had that experience. We didn't have cutting when we were around, when I was young. It's pretty much a new thing. But it's obviously quite severe when people cut themselves. It's like a total cry for help. Yeah. Okay. So I can see the Spirit of the Lord is on some of the young people right now, talking to them. There is hope. His name is Jesus. I promise you there's hope. People do love you. They do care for you. Yes. You don't have to be dead inside. There's a living hope. There is a living hope. And it doesn't look like, it doesn't look like Christianity has the answers. It looks like it's just a religion of your parents. Like an old person's religion. I'm going to tell you something. His mercies are new every morning. He's alive and he's true and he's real and he's a companion and he will talk with you and he will walk with you and he will stick closer than a brother, even closer than a friend, okay? I'm telling you, if there's anybody that will want to spark a life inside of you, it's him. To know him is to know life. He is life. So, encourage yourself to the scriptures. Excuse me, I'm just take this fly out. I hope nobody loves flies. Sorry about that. Turned him into a walk. Great white hunter from Africa. There's no flies on me, man. All right, back to the word. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope." The Scripture is what gives us hope. The Scripture is what gives us life. We go back to the Word of God. It's life to us. If God said it, He meant it. He's going to stick by it. He's going to stand by what He said. Now listen, we all from time to time miss it. We all from time to time go off the rails. We get upset and we get turned away and different things like this. But the bottom line is, there is hope. There is hope. There's hope that He's with you. He loves you, and His Word is going to work for you. Put your faith in that hope. You know, hope is considered one of the big three. What are the big three in Christianity? There you go. So you already know that, you see. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those is love. But you see, faith and hope are power twins. They work together. And love works right in the middle of it. When we know how much God loves us, we can have hope and faith. It's based on how much we know that He loves us. So we need to help people around us have faith. We need to be inspirational to people about us, so they can trust God. Yeah? We need to give them a reason to have hope. And we need to show them love. Show them love. Give them a reason. Well, I want to tell you a little story this morning, and some of you have heard it. I know Jackie's heard it a lot. This is Jackie's ballroom dancing shoe. I would have modeled it for you, but it doesn't fit. But when Jackie was in recovery after her brain attack, and they'd shaved her hair off, and she was in hospital, and she was trying. She hadn't started speaking, you know, she was just a couple of words. And she was going through therapy and had a tube in her. They were feeding her through the tube in her stomach. She wanted to go home. She didn't want to stay in hospital. I don't know anybody who's sick who actually wants to stay there. And people want to go home. It's a house of mercy, and thank God for hospitals. But you only have to be there one night when you really start using your faith to get healed. Well, she had already been in the hospital about a month, and since she wasn't fully comprehending what had happened to her, she wanted to leave. And she kept on, in a very broken way, asking me if she could go home, because she associated being home with being well and being in hospital with being sick. And Jackie and I were ballroom dancers, and we used to dance maybe 3-4 times a week with each other, and even converted our garage into a ballroom area where we would turn on the boombox and we'd work it out. And so I love spinning her around. Well, I took her shoes into the hospital, her ballroom dancing shoes, because I know how much she loves to dance. And I nailed it on the wall when she was lying, the opposite wall. They had all these charts and things, and there was this big whiteboard that I use sometimes. There was one of those on the wall. And I nailed her dancing shoes on the wall. Why do you think I did that? To give her hope. To give her hope. To give her a vision that we would dance again one day, and that this too will pass. and that even though the doctors are saying it's permanent, we can believe like Abraham did when all hope was gone. We could believe in hope. We could find something to hope in. And I took one of these pens, big pens, and I wrote on this board, if you have the courage, I have the faith. We're a team, but I needed her to have courage, to be patient, and to have hope. Seems like she's had the courage, and seems like my faith hasn't been what it should have. Otherwise, she'd be complete at this point. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to stand. I'm going to stand just like that ink that I wrote on the board with, because it didn't rub off. It wasn't... I used the wrong pen. I didn't know that there were two pens. And one comes off and one doesn't. So when we left, my words are famously written on that board. I'm sure they're going to have to wash it down with something. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
You have to have a vision of hope. You have to see what you're dreaming of. You have to hope for something in order to lift your spirit. Okay? You got to have hope. Those miners in Chile had to believe. Do you know that there was a guy down with a Bible down there? And he started ministering to people and got them saved. And they started having prayer meetings. And they started doing worship things. And by the time they came out from in there, every single one of them were born again Christians. The gospel is the only thing that will give you real hope. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Colossians 1 and 23 says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the gospel, from the hope held out in the gospel. Not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And I assume that's why the Holy Spirit moved the way He did this morning, to try and bring people back into a hope relationship with Him, because some of you had lost hope. Whether it was pain, whether it was problems or difficulties, turning your face from the Lord, whatever. But I'm glad that the Holy Spirit took the time this morning to minister that way to us, to draw us back in and to encourage us, because the true hope is held out in the Gospels. Now, you know, the Jewish people put their faith in the Messiah, but they missed it because they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But the Gentiles, the non-Jews, will put their faith in Jesus. According to Romans 15 and verse 2, it says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. The Gentiles, that's nations that are not Jewish, will put their hope in him. Now, verse 13 says, may the God of hope. Everybody say, the God of hope.
God of hope.
Can you imagine that? He is the God of hope. He is the God of hope. Wow. We think He's the God of love. But He's the God of hope. This is something that we ought to put our arms around and say, God, I can hope because I'm trusting the God of hope. When everything else is lost and done, you are the God of hope. That's awesome. That's awesome. When everything else is lost, hope still remains. Now, may the God of hope, look at this prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. The key is trusting in Him. Trust in God, you'll be filled with joy, filled with peace, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a merely get by. It's not just a little trickle. It's not just a little handout. It's not a few crumbs that you're supposed to overflow with hope. When people bump into you, what comes out of you should be hope and joy and peace. And people should go, what? What is this with you? How is it that you're just so full of joy and you're so full of hope and always got a bright word to say? Aren't you looking at stuff around you? Say, yeah, I am. But my trust is in the God of hope. Amen. Amen? That's who I'm trusting. Now, because we have hope in Jesus, guess what? We are to be very bold. And we finished off last week talking about boldness in place of fear. I was shocked to see that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I didn't realize that boldness and hope are connected. Because we have the hope, we can be bold. I can be bold. I can be encouraged. I can be like, whoa, yeah, it's going to work out good. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know. How can you be so sure? Well, I'm trusting in the God of hope. Because I have this hope in me, I can be bold. I don't have to be timid. I don't have to be cowardly. I can be positive. I can be upbeat about it. I can be bold. I can be outward going because I'm trusting in God, irrespective of how bad things look. It doesn't matter. My hope is in God. Now, say, I am the hope of the world. Let me finish with Matthew chapter 5, my last scripture. Jesus said in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say he was. He said you are. The salt. Okay? Everybody say salt? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Well, I don't know. Can salt lose its saltiness? I don't know. I don't know if it can. But it was an interesting statement because, I mean, what is salt made of? Come on, you guys are still at school. What are the two elements it's made out of? Sodium and? Chloride. Sodium chloride. Do you remember the atomic table? Na, sodium, chloride. Come on. Cl, sodium chloride. All you adults are trying to answer for the kids. You had your turn. And when you were there, you hated it. You hated atomic what? Forget you. Now they there and they sang the same stuff. So the only way it can lose its saltiness is if you divide the molecular structure, if you move the chlorine away from the sodium. Not a good thing to leave sodium on its own. Anyway, verse 14 said, you are the light of the world. Everybody say this, Jesus is the light of the world. Now say, Jesus was the light of the world. When he was here. Now say, I am the light of the world. And if you don't believe me, read what the Bible said out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus did not say, I am the light of the world. At this point, he's saying, you are the light of the world. Yes, he said, I am the light of men that's come into the world. He said that. Absolutely, I'm not denying that. While he was here, he was saying, I am the light. But he's also saying to us that when he goes, we are to be the light of the world. Wow, awesome responsibility. Now look what else he says about being the light. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Why? The lights can be seen from a long distance. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, these houses were small. Might be the size of the VIP room that you guys are sitting in over there. So you have a stand, and you have a light on top of the stand, and everybody in that room gets to see because of that light. But I would like to liken this to the house being the world that we live in. Each of you are a center of influence. Each of you are the center of your world. Yes? You have a world that you move in, and you're the center of your world. Correct? If somebody else is the center of your world other than Jesus, then you're off balance. You're the center of your world. So, out from you radiates life, light and hope to everybody about you. They pick up the life coming from you. They pick up the light coming from you. They pick up the hope coming from you. You're the one touching your world. Wherever you go, your world goes with you. And as you go, you make disciples in your world. Anybody who comes into your world, well, they're in your world. Right? They're in your world. So now they're open game. They're in your world. Share love with them. Share hope with them. Share the cross with them. Share the light. So Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And if you put your light up on a stand, it lights up everything in your house. In the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Praise your Father in heaven. He's telling you to let your light shine. Right? Have you got a light? What's your light's name? Jesus. Jesus. So wherever you go, you need to let your light shine. The light that you have for Jesus, you let that shine. Now you have a choice. You can let your hurt show forth. You can let your anger show forth, or you can let the light show forth. It's up to you what you let go. You're in control of it. But if you do let your light shine, if you let your light shine, then other people will ask you, how is it that you're so happy? How is it that you've got so much joy? What is it? Tell us about it, because we don't have it. We don't have what you've got. And you let your light shine. Are we all going to let our light shine? Yes. People, I believe the Lord is speaking to the Promise Church. I believe He's saying that the time has come for us to let our light shine. If we have something worth sharing, share it. If you have a song worth singing, sing it. If you have a word of praise worth giving, give it. If you have a word of encouragement, give it. If you have a word of comfort, share it. If you have a deed of love, do it. I believe the time has come for us to let our light shine. So much so that people will wonder about the joy and the peace that we're walking in and the hope that we're walking in. This that God has given us is not just for us. It's for us to share with others, because Jesus came to touch the world, and you have been touched, and now He's asking you to touch the one next to you, your loved one, your friend, somebody. Touch them the way that you've been touched. Amen?